Say welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here this morning on weekend just before Christmas. If you're looking at in the Word at John chapter 1, the Gospel according to John chapter 1 verse 16, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Version. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already got a copy, an amplified copy of God's Word, I encourage you to do that. When you spend time in the Word and you just want to really look at what God is saying in a particular passage, Amplified Version is a great addition to your Bible study, because it will take, if you notice in your normal copy, whether I've got the New American Standard here, verse 16 is about 11 or 12 words. But when you get to the Amplified, it's more like 23, 25 words. It just takes it and enlarges and expands it. It helps you just to understand what the passage is really saying. So while you're getting there, let me just remind you that one of the traditions that we have here at the Hill is meeting together on Christmas Eve. We have our candlelight and carol service. This year we're expanding it. Last year everybody just blew the roof off and we packed this place out. And it was a great, great time that we had together. So we're going to be enlarging that. We're going to have two services this coming Thursday. It'll be at 3:30, and then the next service will be at 5. And so you'll have two opportunities to come, bring your family, and be a part of Christmas Eve and just really help the family to focus on what Christmas is all about. And so if you've got some friends that don't have a church home, this is a great time to bring them to the Hill and let them experience who we are here and what God is doing here. All right, I want to look at John chapter 1, verse 16. We're talking about Christmas is charity. Christmas is generosity. Christmas is about giving, and specifically about giving to needs. We're just going to bring that all home. I'm doing this, and you say, man, he's talking about this, here at Christmas. Well, last week we looked at, what Christmas is really all about. And remember, part of my role as a shepherd, as a pastor, and this goes for all the pastors who are here, God has given us a role. Part of our role is to comfort the afflicted. But then the other side of that is that we too are afflict the comfortable. And every now and then, we just get really comfortable in how we're living. And we need to kind of be shook a little bit. And not that you necessarily need this, but this is a real teaching time when we're talking about simply Christmas. When we begin to think about what Christmas is really all about. And so I have to be here this morning just by the demands of what we're looking at. And God's just got this so planned, and I'm excited about what I want to share with you this morning. So look at John 1:16. John writes, he says, "For out of God's abundance we have all received." And John is not only talking about believers, because there may be some of you here this morning that you've never stepped across a line for the Lord. You've never just said, "God, I want to be part of your forever family." Maybe you've never stepped across that line of believing and knowing that there is a God and you're not him, and that everything didn't just happen, that this is all by a plan. And that the universe shows forth his handiwork. And maybe you're considering that. Well, God is talking to you this morning, because here's what John is saying. Out of God's abundance, we have all, believers and non-believers, received from him. Because the Bible says, God causes the rain and the sunshine to fall on the just and the unjust. So God is a giver, not only to his kids, but also to those who are not part of his family. God's a giver. And he says, what have we received? One grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Now, that's the Amplified Version. Now, when you think about Christmas, probably the one word that comes to mind more than any other would be the word gift. And a lot of times I think we would say, well, how did we ever get started with gift giving at Christmas? And you'd probably say, according to when I read Luke chapter 2, you read about the wise men who came from the east and they came. And so we probably, bring in gifts. And so that's probably where the whole idea of giving at Christmas came from. And I think a lot of people, you know, go along with that. And it's not necessarily that you're wrong. It's kind of like the little boy. When they said, well, what is Christmas to you? And he said, well, it's about the wise men. Because when they came, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrtle. You know, when I was growing up, I don't know. There were just some songs I missed. And I'm just going to, you know, every now and then it's just kind of cathartic for me to just kind of let you know about my personal struggles. And so one of those was with Christmas carols, because I always thought, when, and I won't tell you how long, but growing up, you know, that it was like, it was Brown Yon Virgin. And I don't know where I got brown, but it just sounded like brown when we sang that. You know, and she was a brown young virgin that was there at Christmas. And that's the way I sang it. If you were next to me, it was brown young virgin. And so anyway, there, you now you know. But the reality is, when you look at the scripture biblically, God is the first giver. And that's one of the things that we read here in scripture. The first thing that God did was that he gave to me. And this is the whole thing that I want you to get this morning about Christmas. God gave to you and me the best that he had. That was his gift. And he gave the second person of the Godhead, he who is called the Son, the second one in the Godhead, he gave the Son for you and for me. And I'm going to tell you, he gave him so that I could be forgiven. And I don't know about you, but there have been so many different times in my life, in my walk with the Lord, where in my times in the Word, there'll be times that I will just find myself down on my face before the Lord, because what I begin to think about, and it's not about that I'm rehearsing everything, and it's not about that I think that God hasn't forgiven me. It's about getting to the place of where I just begin to give him thanks for what he's done for me. When I begin to think about the kind of man that I was, and I begin to think about the things that I did in my life, when I begin to think about the things that I thought and the actions of my life, I just get down on my face and I just begin to say, Father, I'm so sorry for the things that you've seen in my life, for the holiness that you are and how you have looked upon me and the sin that you have seen me do and the thoughts that have been in my mind. And I just go through a thing, and it's not about just asking to be forgiven all over again, but it's about giving him thanks and praise, because through Jesus Christ, those things are no longer a part of my life. Can you say amen to that for you? That you are different. Yes, there is a part of your life that maybe is shameful and that you're ashamed of, and it just grieves you when you think about how the Father saw you and how you were living and all the secret things that he knows about you. But in Jesus Christ, those things have been done away with, and you thank him for that. But then there is this grief, God, what you saw, what you had to wash away from my life, and oh God, I'm just sorry for the sin that you saw in my life. But then I'm also grateful because you've given me a purpose. That every day of my life in Jesus Christ, I got a reason for getting up and throwing my legs over the side of bed and hitting the floor and going. Amen? We've got a reason that God has given me, this South Arkansas boy, he has given me a purpose. He brought me from there and he planted me here, and he gave me something I could never imagine having in my own life. He gave me you. He gave me this hill. He gave me everything that he has done on this place. And God has said from the very beginning, this was my plan for you. And when you said yes, and I've washed all of your sin away, it put in motion everything that I've done. And I want you to understand that is the Christmas story for everybody who is here, for you and you and you, for every one of us. Every one of us are a plan. We're not a biological event of mom and dad. There are accidental parents. There are no accidental babies. You are here for a reason. And it ought to be because of Christmas and the message of Christmas that every day is a good day, because you're here for a reason. When there's a reason to get out of bed and to fulfill the purpose that God put you here, because he's forgiven your past, he's got given you a reason for living, and you got a home in heaven. And that's a good thing. I'm going someplace when I leave this world, and I'm going to be with him. And that's the reason why 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God, Paul said, for his unspeakable gift. Jesus gives me a purpose for living. And that's the basis of this whole message this morning. And if you got out your Life Point outline, I want you to look at this truth that's there. And that is that Christmas is about generosity to needs. And I want you to understand that that truth is part of the joy that God wants to do in your life and how he wants to change the course and the direction of your life for good. God wants you to understand that, that Christmas is about generosity. It's about this idea of charity, which means that about giving to needs. God was generous to my need, and God has been generous to your need, or none of us would have anything. Now you say, I'd like to have chapter and verse on that. I'm glad you asked that. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 16. King David, the Bible says, when he's talking, he says, I have worked hard. I have worked hard. I have labored at amassing everything. He wanted to build a house of worship for the Lord God. But God said, you've been a man of blood and war. You are not to build it. My son, your son, will build it for me. So David amassed all of this material, gold, silver, gems of all kind, fine wood, fine cut stone. He did all of that. Why? To build a house of worship for the Lord. But when it came time and he just wanted to dedicate this all to God, after he'd done all this work, listen to what he said. This is 1 Chronicles 29, 16. He said, oh Lord, our God, calluses on his hands, lines of labor on his face, the hard work he had gone through. Oh Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided is from your hand. All is yours. You see what David said, and this is the truth in your outline. Every good thing in your life, including your life itself, is from God as a gift to you. Everything. If you don't understand anything, listen, God says, I want you to understand everything in your life is from me. Everything. The breath you take, the body that you have, everything is from you. God is generous. Here's the thing. God wants me as a son of his. God wants me to be generous as a lifestyle, not as a seasonal event. Normally, you know, we think about giving when it comes to Christmas time. But God says, I want generosity to be a lifestyle. And some of you may be saying, I can't afford that. Oh, listen. I want you to listen. And listen to the whole thing. Don't jump ahead of me. Generosity is hard in the materialistic, self-centered society that you and I live in. It is so easy to be self-centered. I have to be generous on purpose. I can't, it's not going to happen accidentally. I have to think about it. It is something that needs to be put in front of me. And that's the reason why God has us planted here today. God is saying, I want my fellowship, I want my family to think again about this whole thing about generosity, because you are planted in a self-centered society and it's all about you. And God says in 2016, he wants you to be a bunch of generous men and a group of generous women. That's God's desire for all of us for 2016. Now, that being said, in your outline, there are two types of people in this town. There are two types of people in this service and all around us. And I'm one of the two, and so are you. We're either a giver or we're a taker. Every one of us. It is natural to be a taker and to live life very self-centered. But I want to remind you something. It is no accident that the word miser and miserable come from the same root word. Just understand that. What God is saying, the truth in your outline, the more of a taker that you are, the more miserable your life is going to be. That is a spiritual truth. If I want more joy in my life, God says, I want you to learn to be like me because we're connected. I want you to learn. You are a son and a daughter of mine, and there is no limit to what I'm able to do. And so what good is it if you become a generous man or a generous woman? Let me share this with you. There are two or three things that I want to give you this morning. Number one, when you are generous, you reflect your Heavenly Father. I reflect God when I am generous. Let me give you a chapter for that. Psalm 37, verse 21. The godly are generous givers. Now remember, we're always talking about giving to need. The godly are generous givers. So here's the insight. You cannot be godly and lack in generosity. The Bible talks more about giving than it, and Jesus taught more about giving than he talked about heaven or about hell. Now, there's some words that I think in as far as the Christian faith is concerned, we'd all say are very important. Words like believe, pray, and love. Listen to this. Believe, the word believe, is mentioned in Scripture 272 times. The word pray is mentioned 371 times. The word love is mentioned 714 times. But the word give is used over 2,100 times in Holy Scripture. Now, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He is revealing truth to us. Now, just listen. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Your generosity to the poor will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what he just said. I've not seen this before. This is like fresh to me. Here's the truth in your outline. Generosity is a proof, not the proof. It is a proof of your salvation, that you are in God's family and that you know him. One of the marks that I belong to him is that because God is generous, I will be generous. If I have his nature operating in me, if I'm connected to him, I'm going to be a generous man. So that brings me to the second thing. Generosity cures selfishness. I don't know, I think you're probably like Catherine and I. You know, every day, one of us will say, have you been to the mailbox or whatever? And so one of us will go down. It is amazing how many trees are being cut in America needlessly. I'm not a tree hugger by philosophy. It's not like I'm going to be running off, you know, to the Northwest or anything because I'm all about that. But here's what I want you to understand. We go to the mailbox, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? I do not know how these companies have found me. Where do they know where I lived? I open up the box, and there are these catalogs. You understand what I'm saying? There's catalogs selling me clothes. They're going to sell me shoes, house art. They're going to sell me stuff I don't even know were being made anymore. And I'm like, all these catalogs, and I'm like, again. And it's like you just try to pull all that stuff out of the box. And I'm thinking all the trees have been cut. Every day of the week, we are bombarded by what has become the goal of America. It is get more. You know, what do you want? I don't know. I just want more. You know, and that's why we're renting storage buildings, and storage places are the big thing in our country. Why? Because we need more place to put our stuff, you know? And I'm guilty of that. You know, we need places to hide our stuff and to put our stuff around. And let me just say this. I want to honor you who are members of our fellowship. I want to honor Harmony Hill, this family, for stepping forward to be givers. God is wanting to build us up in that, but I want to thank you. I want to say thank you to you. For the last 3 years, Harmony Hill Baptist Church has led all the churches in Unity Baptist Association. That is churches in Angelina County and Polk County, those down around Livingston. There's over 53 churches. And for the last 3 years, you, and you're like a third of our fellowship, but this is the last service this morning, we have been the lead giver to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for world missions for the last 3 years out of over all these churches. And there are many large churches, but you have exceeded them all. And this past year, Harmony Hill, you have come together. You've given to Buckner's Family Home. You've given to the Dieball Prison Ministry. You've given to Mosaic Center for helping women who are on hard times by giving them a hand up and not a hand out. You have given to the Pregnancy Help Center. You have given to hospice. You collected all of these socks for those in need. You've given to the needy gifts at Christmas. You've given out tons, literally tons of food this year that you have helped pay for through our food pantry. You have provided Christmas for so many families through Coston Elementary and have showed those people that there is a group of people at Harmony Hill who care about other people. And I just want to say thank you. And I just think we ought to celebrate that. Can you just give God a hand clap of praise? That is who you are. And I just want to say, Lufkin is learning that this is a church who has a giving heart. And when if you are new to the Hill, I want you to understand you're going to pick up the generous lifestyle. Or you won't stay around very long. We talk a lot about giving. We talk about giving to other needs. And when we say that Harmony Hill is a place where people come to life, I want you to understand what we mean by that. That is connected to why we talk about giving. And let me give you a chapter and verse on that. Proverbs 1, verse 18. The greedy set an ambush for themselves. Let me tell you what God is saying is a greedy person automatically sets himself up for failure. He says they booby trap their own lives. It is the fate of all who are greedy. It ends up robbing them of life. Greediness, self-centeredness, selfishness will rob you of life. You will booby trap your own life. Here's the truth in your outline. You can get so busy making a living, trying to amass and get, that you forget how to make a life. And I want to encourage you moms and dads. When Kristen and Joel were growing up, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that they caught from me, and both of them have, that dad is a tither. The boys saw me week in and week out write out a tithe check. I didn't do that in secret. I wanted them to see me do that. And I want to encourage you, don't give secretly. Give where your children know you're giving. You're making a concerted effort to give week to week to week, because they're not going to get that anyplace else. They've got to catch that from you. So make sure they catch that by seeing you do it week in and week out. And that brings us to number three. Generosity increases your faith. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Your giving, now listen, proves the reality of your faith. Now I want you to listen, I want you to watch this. Because, and some of us have got some ideas about giving and generosity that are not biblical. And I want you to stay with me on this. Here's the truth. You prove your trust in God by giving. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about from a biblical perspective. Charity, giving to needs, and generosity is part of the life of a child of God. Now listen, you say, I already know that. No, here it is. It is part of the life of a child of God in times of abundance and in times of leanness. Why? Because giving, now listen, giving is always precipitated by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God wants to guide you in what you give. God wants to be the one to tell you how he wants you to give. And you give under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We already know there's some things that we ought to be giving, that God is just, there are habitual acts of giving that are part of our lives because that's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. One, when we take the Lord's Supper, which we'll take it on New Year's Eve, God willing, here on the Hill, and you come in for that special time of the Lord's Supper. Well, you can know, Catherine and I know, every time we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to make out a check to benevolence. Why? Because we already know that's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do here on the Hill. We are going to be a benevolent church. That's part of our calling. That's part of the things that God has put in me to teach us. That's part of what he wants. And so every time we meet for the Lord's Supper, we're going to give a benevolent offering so that we can minister to families who are struggling and first of all, to our own families here on the Hill. We're going to give to Lottie Moon Christmas offering for World Missions. Giving to missions at Christmas is what we're going to do. We don't have to ask whether we could. And every week, we're going to put a dollar in that missions box. Now track with me on this. I already know, because some have told me, they said, well, you know, Pastor, I've already given. And I've said, well, you mean today? No, I've already given for the year. And I said, yeah, I wrote out a check for $52 and I put it in. I want you to understand something. If I could, I would fix those boxes where if you put in a $52 check for missions for the year, it would spit it back out. I want it to spit it out. And you would try again and it would spit it out again. Why? Because I don't want you to just like, well, I got that checked off my list. It's not about checking something off your list. It is about every week you bring a dollar. Why? Because you like to breathe, don't you? Well, it is what we do. We don't give a dollar because it's just, I don't get that checked off my list to missions. Missions is what we're about. World missions, international missions, missions on the home front here in America. It's what we're about. Churches that God blesses are missions-minded churches. Jesus said, go, right? Go into all the world. If you want to be a church that is blessed, you get in a church that's going. We've got a missions pastor who's getting us all over the globe. God love him. There's money, you know, going out and we're giving and people are going. We're going to Bolivia and we're going to Southeast Asia and we're going to Africa. And there are going to be places we're going to be sending people here across the United States and we're already working locally. And so what God is saying is I want you to be part of what you do. It's like breathing. You bring a dollar and you put it in that box. It's what you do. Write a check, and unless you want to write a $51 check every week, that's fine. Do that and put it in. And it won't spit that back out, but it's got to be coming every week. So, you know, just do that. And we give weekly tithes and we give. Why? Because I want to be a part of what God's doing here on the hill. I've given that offering back. I give. Why? I want to be a part of what the Father's doing. He's doing something here. And I want to be a part of that. And the main reason you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for World Missions this month is because, not because of me, you give because you believe God wants you to and you want to please Him. Why? Because you want Him to bless you. I want Psalm 121, 7 and 8 to be a part of my life. I will bless your coming in and your going out henceforth, now and forever. Don't you want that for your family? Don't you want God to bless your coming in and your going out? Huh? I do. Well, then you do what God wants. You work to please Him because you want His hand on your life. The truth in your outline, the cornerstone motivation for giving is the law of the harvest. Now, you may have never heard of this. I want you to listen. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Whoever sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously, reaps generously. Now, it's all about giving. And God simply says, the farmer who is a fool, who has a sack of grain in his barn, and he says, you know, I'm worried about the future. I'm worried that I won't have enough to eat. And so I'm just going to keep the seed in the barn. God said, that man is a fool. Because you take the seed and you plant it, because each seed doesn't produce another seed. It produces 100, 200, 500 more that come out of that one seed. All right, that is the law of the harvest. Now listen to me. When I put my tithe in the offering, according to biblical scripture, when I gave my tithe, I gave a certain amount. That's my tithe. That's 10% plus an offering that I want to give to the Lord. When I do that, the law of sowing and reaping automatically becomes operational for me. And that means that I sowed that, but what I'm going to reap is going to be more than that. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You look in your outline. The law of the harvest is you always reap more than you sow. And so if you want God to give back to you, if you want to get back into your life, you've got to become a giver. God doesn't give to selfishness. God gives to those who are like Him and they give out, they plant. And if you, listen, and that works in everything. If you are critical, if you are a critical person, if you criticize a lot of other people and a lot of things, you're going to get criticism. You're going to be criticized in life. If you are a gossiper and you like to talk about other people, but you know, you're not gossiping, you're just telling the truth. If you're that kind of person, I want you to understand, people are talking about you. Why? It's the law of the harvest. You give out, it's going to come back. So if you're gossiping, you can understand this morning, you're being talked about. It's going to happen. Somebody's talking about you probably even right now. So you know, don't look around, but just... somebody's probably talking about you. They're thinking things about you. And so you just understand that. Now, number four, generosity reverse blesses. Now, I just want to hit this because Deuteronomy 15 and 10, give generously to the poor, do so without a grudging heart. And the Lord your God, because you help others in need, because you share what you have with others, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to do. Who doesn't want that for 2016? That God will bless you in everything that you do. When I learn to be a giver and not a taker, God is, there's going to be blessings that come to me. They're not going to come to me unless I am that way. Psalm 112, verse 5. God will come to those who are generous. Proverbs 11, 24. It is possible to give freely and to become more wealthy, but those who are stingy will lose everything. Proverbs 11, 26. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Why? Because generosity reverse blesses. When you give your tithe, when you give to missions, when you give to meet needs, when you do that, when you become a giver, it's going to come back to you. God, it's going to reverse bless. You cannot outgive the Lord. And so number five, how do you give? Because this is where we need so much understanding. How do you give? 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, because God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Three identifying marks about biblical generosity. What are they? Number one, carefulness. In other words, God's, listen, if you are giving biblically, you don't give off the cuff. It's not an impulsive thing. That's why we try to tell you in advance about what opportunities there are to give. You know, every Sunday morning is a time to give the offering, to, you know, help keep the lights on and to help us do ministry that we're doing. That's part of what we're about as a family. We know that when there's a Lord's Supper, it's going to be about benevolence. We'll talk about building, because we need a children's building. We need a new worship place to where we can expand and have more, a place for more people to come. And so you know that. So it's going to be that we want you to think about that and pray about, God, what do you want me to give with regard to that? You don't do it impulsively. Here's the truth. Biblical generosity is not based on emotion. You give to the church, you give to Lottie Moon, you give whatever you give it deliberately based on time spent before God. God, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to do? And God is going to encourage you to give by faith so that he can prosper you. And you will sow, you'll give, and you're going to get back more than you give. And then number two, you give intentionally. The truth is, you never give out of pressure or guilt, but from the heart. And so as pastors here, we never want you to feel like we're putting the screws to you, that we're putting, you know, a thumb pressure on you, but that you give because it's what you want to do, that you're not being, you know, that we're slinging guilt on you. You never give out of guilt. You don't give out of pressure. You don't give out of reluctance. You give. The attitude of your heart is, I want to do this. Here's the need. I've spent time alone with God. This is what God wants me to do. This is the faith step God's calling me to. And then number three, you give cheerfully. There's a bumper sticker out there that says, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll accept from a grouch. You know, and God will do that. He's saying, giving you credit for it. I don't get credit when I begrudge what I'm giving. And so if any offering or gift that you give isn't done because you want to, if it's not done because you're doing it with gladness, you know, this morning when I give that tithe, When I give the benevolence, I don't give out of compulsion. I give because I want to. That's why I do it. I give because it's what I want to do out of my heart. And that's what the Father is looking at. So I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just quietly before the Lord. I want to ask you, this holiday season, at this Christmas season, what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying to you that God wants you to give? What do you feel in your heart God wants you to do? Maybe what God is looking for from you more than anything else is it's the first gift God wants, is he wants your heart. He wants your heart. That you realize today, if you've just been kind of kicking the tires on Christianity and just kind of looking, you know, you've maybe you got turned off by churches, and so you've been coming to the Hill to see what we're about, and maybe begun to realize, you know, this is, I think that there's something attractional here. This message just really speaks to me. And for the first time, I'm beginning to understand about why I'm here on this earth and why I've been born, and that there is a purpose for my life. And that God has a place for me in eternity. And God's got a plan for my days on earth. There's a reason to be glad. There is a God. And He made me. And I'm a sinner, and He's holy. And I will never go to heaven without His Son, Jesus. That you this morning will respond to the Holy Spirit. And for the first time in your life, you will give God your heart. That you will just open up your heart and say, Lord, I invite you to come in. I want you in my life. I want you to move inside of me. I want to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit. I want to belong to you. And I want to just encourage you, turn your life over to Christ this morning so that God can begin to be even more of a blesser for you, to lead you, to guide you, to help you understand how to live life. I want to encourage you to say yes to Him this morning. It may be this morning that you want to do what you've been thinking about for a long time, and that is that you give God the first part of your day. You're a very busy man or woman. There are a lot of demands on you. But I want to tell you something. There are some blessings God wants to give you that He's not being able to pour in your life because you're not putting Him first. God wants to be honored. There is a God who is able to not give you more hours in the day, but to give you the ability to make the hours you have count, to make your work go further, to make it accomplish more. And if you're needing to get more out of your day, if you're needing to have a better day, that starts by putting Him first. And for 2016 is the call of God for you to make a commitment that, God, by your grace, I'm going to start getting up 30, 45, or 50 minutes earlier in the day, that I can get my coffee, get my Coke, whatever it is you start the day with, and I'm going to be with you. I want to get a copy of the Word that I can get into. I want to be with you. I want to pray. I want you watching over my family. I want you blessing my marriage. I want you being involved in my work. God, I want you to bless me. I want to be blessed because you're the giver to me. And I realize that everything I've got comes from you. And anything I don't have, maybe it's because either I haven't asked for it or I don't qualify for it, because you're not first in my life. It's not about twisting God's arm. It's just about walking with Him, being with Him. And so this morning, make that commitment. Maybe it's you're going to start tithing for the first time. You're going to give that 10%. That's where it starts. That's just kind of a marker. Maybe you want to make Lottie Moon Missions a part of your Christmas tradition. Whatever it is, do it today. Father, thank you this morning for the Word. God, thank you for this precious time. God, thank you that there's a purpose for Christmas. Just simple Christmas. Not about getting caught up in all the craziness and the going. But it's about you. It's about connecting with the One who made us. It's about walking with you. It's about putting you first. It's about our days becoming sensible and being led by your Spirit. And so, Father, today, we just want to say yes. Thank you for the Word. Thank you, God, for speaking to us today. And we pray as we give our offering today that it will bring honor to you, and you'll use it to spread the gospel around the world and to accomplish the purpose for which you've planted us here on this hill. So bless those who give. Encourage those who are thinking about it. And draw them, Father, to yourself and may they become generous men and generous women in Jesus' name. As you get ready to leave and just